Hello, this is Word of Eternal Life by Pastor Chaco Varghese of Life Eternal Ministries from Parkland, Florida.
We have been talking about Jesus Christ, the Son of the Most Holy God, and I would like to give a little review on the things we talked about. We will see that Jesus is a historical and spiritual figure who was born in Bethlehem of Judea, according to prophecies in the scripture. The scripture was given by God through his prophets, first to the children of Israel, who are the descendants of Abraham. After the promised seed of Abraham took his birth through the tribe of Judah, who was the great grandson of Abraham, the scriptures started fulfilling. The first of the foremost of the fulfillment of the scripture was salvation of the entire humanity through God's own Son, Jesus, who was the Christ of God. The scriptures concerning this Christ started fulfilling, first by his birth, which was promised to Abraham. And the angel of the Lord called unto Abraham out of heaven the second time in Genesis 22, chapter, verse 15, and in thy seed shall all the nations of the earth shall be blessed, because thou hast obeyed my voice. This is from the King James Version. So again, the second time God fulfilled his promise, and Abraham also offered his only son, Isaac, as an obedience to God. But God did not allow Abraham to kill his son. God wanted Abraham to experience the pain of sacrificing his own son. Here, Abraham, the man met by God and who received many blessings and promises from God, stands as a representative of the entire humanity. Regardless of Jews or Gentiles, there was no such Jew at the time. There was all the world was filled with Gentiles. Even Abraham's family came out from the idol worshiping. His father was an idol worshiper and a maker of idol. And born in today's Iraq, the southern part of Iraq, where he was born, right? And the place is called Mesopotamia, and Bible says the city in that region is called Ur. God asked that humanity to offer their sons in another words, which means God asked, would you offer your son to Abraham? Abraham said yes. But Abraham was the one to do it, because he was the only one in his time who knew God, obeyed God, and walked with God. For a thought, because Abraham did not withhold his son, Isaac, to God, God did not withhold his son, Jesus, for the humanity to die for their sins. This will answer to those who questioned why God's son Jesus was born as a Jew. Also, why not in another country? God do not want to make anyone believe in Jesus as a Jew, right? The thing is, it's not Jew or Gentile. It's a matter of in whose family Jesus was born, because the man who obeyed God, God decided to send his son through his family. Both Jews and Gentiles need Jesus. The word Jew came from Judah, the great grandson of Abraham. The entire nation came through the descendants of Abraham is Israel. Israel was the other name for Jacob. Jacob was the grandson of Abraham, and God changed his name to Israel because he was blessed and he was prayed and he fought against God for blessings. After God found Abraham the family he chose, the preparation to get the right virgin girl took another 3,000 or so years. The Holy Spirit said through Paul the Apostle, but when in the New Testament, when the fullness of time came, God sent forth his son, made of a woman, made under the law, to redeem them that were under the law. See, who was under the law? The Jewish nation, people of children of Abraham, received the covenant and laws of God that they will follow word by word, step by step, all the covenants and laws of God. So they will be called his children, that we might receive the adoption of sons. Now, as the time of his life, God sent his son, and he was the Son of God who will redeem all the nations of the earth, not just one nation, one tribe, or one religion, or anything that man is thinking about. God loved the world that he sent his one and only Son, that whosoever believeth in him shall not perish, but will have eternal life. John 3:16. Then after 4,000 years later, after the covenant was made with Abraham, God offered his own son for humanity. He did not save his life from the sacrifice on the cross. As he was about to give up his ghost, his son called out to him, and about the ninth hour, Jesus cried with a loud voice on the cross, saying, "Eli, Eli, lama sabachthani," that is to say, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? In KJV version, Matthew 28:27, and "Eli, Eli, lama sabachthani" is an Aramaic language, which is a pre-Hebrew, which was spoken by the people of Israel and Jews at the time. Aramaic was not only spoken by Jewish people, it is one of the fundamental language in the land of Syria, which is called Aram at the time, A-R-A-M. Aram was one of the son of Shem, Even Persia, which is old name to Iran, the original Persians were also, they were the sons of Shem. So also Iraq, which is called Assyria, the northern Iraq, and there were four sons in the Bible, it says. So all of them are Semites, but it is applied to all of them, okay? Now, the language they spoke at the time was Aramaic. But God the Father left this son, Christ, out of connection, left him to be punished, even not look at him for to listen to his cry. The sin of the whole world was too heavy for Jesus to carry. And God did not look at the sinner. The sinner is punished. God loves the sinners, human beings, us, but when our sin was put on Jesus, he did not give him any sympathy. He was cruelly, brutally murdered on the cross. He was crucified, most heinous death to a criminal. See, the criminal was humanity, not Jesus Christ. All the sins of the human beings fell on him. So God treated him as the sinner. Now, many people ask this question, why Jesus called God Father for help if he was God? Well, we need to understand that God sent his son, incarnated in flesh, to be a human, stand in the place of human, even though he had a godly spirit in him, he was a spirit God, but his body was created to be human, to suffer. So he could not take the God authority which he could have. Because he said at the Gethsemane when he was being arrested, Peter pulled out a sword and cut the ear of the high priest. And Jesus told him, "Put your sword back in to the place." And he healed the servant of the high priest immediately. And his ear was healed. And then he said, "Don't you know, if I wanted, I could have called out for six legions of angels to come and fight for me. You know, Jesus could have destroyed the world and the humanity and everyone in the earth and recreate more new creations if he wanted to. But how would he accomplish the love of his Father and him for the humanity? Only by death. Only he died for the sinners. That's the only way he can accomplish his mission, which him and his Father God and the Holy Spirit decided in eternity what we will do if man will sin. See, this is an application of a thought that most theologians think why God did it. Even when God foreknow the things which will happen in the future, God knows everything. And God knows that humanity was going to, Adam and Eve will sin. But God was going to do it anyway. That's my suggestion, my opinion. God was going to create human in his image and his likeness because he ultimately wanted humanity, a person named human, which is his image and likeness, in that human as a person, as a figure that the world can see. The animals and the birds, and he's a representation of God. So man is a representation of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, the three on one God. And Adam and Eve together become one. You see, it's a male and female unity of God's plan to become one will be the image and likeness of God. God created them in his image and his likeness. That means you look and stand in the earth and as a king of the universe, as a earth, he will rule and subdue all the creatures and everything on the planet. That's what God told in the book of Genesis, in the beginning chapters 1, 2, and 3. If you read everything, that helps you to understand. I mean, so because Jesus is in the man's position right now, when I'm talking about is the time when he laid his authority to the Father's presence and gave leave with him and took human shape. He is God himself, but he had to be a human in order to suffer the sins of the humanity. See, that answers the question. He consumed the sin with the sinner. God is a God of great anger towards the sin. He cannot stand sin, and he punished his sin. Jesus obeyed the Father, committed, surrendered, took all the sins, and took the wrath of God on him. He died on the cross, handed over his spirit to the Father, buried and resurrected victoriously on the third day, and appeared to his disciples for 40 days. Time and time in between 40 days, Jesus appeared to his disciples, communed with them. Few times he ate with them food, right? Also strengthened them, encouraged them, proved them the prophecies which is concerning Jesus Christ, which was in the scriptures foretold. He gave them the instructions to preach the gospel in all worlds, heal the sick and cast out the demons. Amen. And after the final instruction to wait at Jerusalem for the promise of the Father, which was the Holy Spirit, which was a spirit of the Father, spirit of Holy God, which was sending for the ones, people who believe in him. And they will receive that spirit in their heart, in their soul, in their spirit, in their heart. You know, there is no definition which part of the body the Holy Spirit, I mean, all we can say is they receive it in their body, in their heart, in their soul, in their spirit, you know, and they became powerful, they empowered by the Holy Spirit of God. Because that's what the Holy Spirit of God does. He empowers us to preach the word. That's why we are preaching the word. Because if it was empowered not by the Holy Spirit, we couldn't do it. We will be discouraged. We don't want to do anything like that. But we know the true God. We know the truth. We know it is real. And it is in us. And we can't stop other than preaching about it. Praise God. You see, and this is, I said, as a kind of a review, and I'm telling that Jesus is proved to be a Messiah ever since all the prophecies started fulfilling in him. The prophecies fulfill him in the sense that his birth was fulfilled, and he was talked in all 39 books about the coming of the Messiah, starting from Genesis 3:15. It's a woman's son or woman's child, right? So Jesus, finally, it's also supposedly the son of David. Now, how it becomes the son of David? Because David is a son of Judah. I mean, not the first or second in generation. He was in the generation of Judah. And Judah is David, and in his tribe, Mary was born. And in the tribe of Judah, which is David was the great father, it's a descendant of David. In the genealogy of David, is Mary born. Also, the adopting father, whose name was Joseph. Now, he's not the real father. Real father is God himself. He descended into the womb of Mary and took his birth. Praise God. So the birth of Jesus was foretold in Bethlehem of Judea. I mean, Micah prophesied it has to be in that particular location. And at the time of his birth, the angels came, and also the three magi came. Then we talked about the coming of magi to Judea, and that made Herod to kill a whole bunch of children of Judea. And that was prophesied that Rachel is weeping about her children. Now, Rachel, why? Because one of the grandmothers. She was one of the great grandmothers of the children of Judah, children of Israel. So that happened. And then there was a prophecy that I will call my son from an alien nation, which was Egypt, where at the time of the murdering of the children of Judea, Jesus was not there, because right before that, the angel appeared, Gabriel appeared to Joseph, take his child and the mother and go to Egypt and stay there until we call you back, I'll tell you. So after Herod died in AD 4, sometime in the end of AD, Herod died, the news came to Joseph through the angel Gabriel, and they returned. And where did they went to leave? They did not want to go to Judea, because the son of Herod, Archelaus, was ruling Judea. So he went to another territory called Galilee. So where he lived in Galilee, and the town they lived, or the village, they called the Nazareth. So I will call him Nazarene. So that was a prophecy. So that prophecy was fulfilled. You see, there's like five prophecies fulfilled until that time. Jesus was a child at the time. See, after that, his ministry started at age 30. Amen. So we see every one of these prophecies was a promise that God's son will go through. The Messiah's birth was prophesied, and also all these events I have just discussed. Now, Messiah started his ministry, and another prophecy fulfilled, I have talked about it in the Gospel of Matthew chapter 4. What does that prophecy is? The people of the darkness, they lived in darkness, they have seen the light, which is in chapter 4, Matthew, verse 15 and 16, 17. To fulfill what was said through the prophet Isaiah, the land of Zebulun and land of Naphtali, the way to the sea along Jordan, Galilee of the Gentiles, the people living in darkness have seen great light. On those living in the land of the shadow of death, a light was dawned. And that time, Jesus began to preach. And Jesus' first message was, repent, for the kingdom of God or kingdom of heaven is near. So that's a ministry. That's how many part of in Matthew we have talked about. And Jesus had the greatest sermon in Matthew chapter 5, 6, and 7. And he was teaching the people. This was the longest sermon Jesus conducted. And this is the most famous sermon in the whole world that anyone has ever heard. In that sermon, Jesus mentioned these things to the crowd. Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who mourn, for they will be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they will be inheriting the earth. Blessed are those who hunger and those who for thirst for righteousness, for they will be filled. Blessed are the merciful, for they will be shown mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they will see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they will be called sons of God. Blessed are those who are persecuted because of righteousness, for there is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are you when people insult you, persecute you, and falsely say all things of evil against you because of me. Rejoice, that glad, be glad, because great is your reward in heaven. For in the same way they persecuted the prophets who were before you. You see, the blessings, many of these blessings that Jesus proclaimed is established by God in heaven. That you will be blessed if you are poor in spirit because you have the thirst for God. You have the thirst that your spirit will be fed by worshiping, praising and worshiping God. You will be comforted by the Spirit of God. Blessed are those who are mourn, like any reasons. You are suffering today. You are mourning today for unnecessary abuses which you should not have received. But you are going to be blessed that God will reward you for any punishment people put on you for innocence, but you are innocent. Now, blessed are the meek, that you are very lowly and a very meek person, that you are, you listen to things. You are very obedient person, so such as the meekness. There's no other word I can find in the English language. The meek is you have very, very good heart. Low and accepting and believing and listening. And humble more than that. So these are the people that God is explaining. Jesus was preaching that you will receive blessings from God. Even when you are persecuted, there is nobody have did any retaliation to the person who persecute you. You know, in jobs, places of job, in even sometimes in a church, in sometimes in a family, the people abuse others, persecute others. You know, some children, right, they bully the heavy-duty big boys. They bully the little children, young children who are little weaker. They look at them and they bully them, but they will also be rewarded for what they have suffered. So anyone who suffered for innocence, they will be rewarded. Not only that, at the end we see that in verse 12 says, rejoice to be glad before that is your reward in heaven. If anyone persecute me, you for my sake. That if you are a follower of Jesus Christ and you don't retaliate, you don't attack anybody back, or you don't revenge, Jesus Christ is there in heaven in the presence of the Father to reward that person for sure. So Jesus says that all you do is you be humble and obedient. A period of time you may suffer, but God is there to reward you. Then next thing Jesus talked about, be a salt and a light to the world you are living. Be a salt. Salt give a taste to the food. Without taste, how would someone eat any food? That salt is something that make something sweet, in a sense, tasteful, right? So that you can enjoy it. So you have to be like a salt in between people. When you speak with salt in it. Speak with, some kind of thing that people can kindly, speak with kindness, speak with grace, speak with good feeling in your heart concerning about others, which is called, we are saying, speak with a salt in it. And your light, you will show your good things, good work, by showing. That's how you show you the light. Be a light in the world. A city on a hill cannot be hidden. If you do things for others, you will be known by the others that you are a good person, you are helping, and you are like a lamp which is put on the city. I mean, it is not hidden, right? Many people do good things to others in public, it will be known to others. See, this is not a matter of publishing that you have done something for somebody and you publish it. That's not what Jesus is talking about. That everyone in the house will receive the light. See, be a light in your own home. Be good to all your siblings and your parents. And also when you go to your church or your neighborhood, in your school, be good to others. Do something good for them. Help others if you see you are able to do something. You can help somebody in any way in your ability. So you will be rewarded for your good deeds and praise your Father in heaven. You will receive praise from God the Father. He's going to say, here is my son. Here is my son. He did this great thing for us, great thing for the neighbor, great thing for this surrounding today's situations, rain and storm and flood and all kind of fire, hurricane. Look something, if you are able to help your neighbor in your own city, on your own surroundings. That's what the Lord is looking, we are here for. Helping others is what God was looking for. Next thing Jesus said, do not think that I have come to abolish the law or the prophets. I have not come to abolish them, but to fulfill them. I tell you the truth. Until heaven and earth disappear, not the smallest letter, not the least stroke of the pen will by any means disappear from the law until everything is accomplished. Jesus came to accomplish the law and the prophets. So please don't misunderstand. Jesus came to do against the law or the commandment of Moses, but he came to fulfill his laws and rules God has given. May the Lord richly bless you and see you next time. Have a wonderful day.
Thank you for listening to the broadcast this morning. If you have any more questions or if you'd like to contact me, my email address is p like Peter, r like Robert, dot chackov like Victor at gmail.com. That is pr.chackov@gmail.com.
Summer pool season is upon us. If you want your pool clear, Providence Pools is here. We offer weekly services that are reliable and affordable. Providence Pools, serving St. Lucie County. For a free estimate, we can be reached at 772-971-9570.
Morningside Academy, the first private school in Port St. Lucie, has been providing academics with excellence since 1987. Morningside Academy offers private Christian education in a godly atmosphere, teaching truths that will last a lifetime. Morningside Academy.